Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, kiddos. Thank you for joining me. I am so glad that you are here today. For those who this is your first time, my name is Miss B, and I am the kids coordinator here at Vintage Faith. Usually we do an activity that goes alongside of our sermon, but today is a special day. So, moms, I love you. You guys are beautiful. You are amazing. But I have a favor to ask. Would you mind stepping out of the room just for a second while I chat with your kiddos? Thank you so much. All right, kids, are they on? Yeah, okay. So kids, the special day I'm talking about, it's Mother's Day. Yeah, Mother's Day. So we are going to make our mamas a card. All right, I'm gonna tell you what you need. I'll give you a minute to go run and get it. And if you need help, this is very important. If you need help, ask Dad. Okay? All right. You are going to need a few pieces of paper. If you have some colored paper, go ahead and grab it. If not, any kind of paper is fine. Grab a glue stick and some markers. Okay? Ready, set, go. I'm falling into your arms again. All right. We got what we need. Moms, are you still out of the room? So kiddos, what you're going to do is grab your piece of paper, whichever one you want, and you're going to fold it in half, just like this, okay? Fold it in half. Then take one of your markers, and you're going to draw a big heart right on the front. Big heart right in the middle on the front, okay? Then you're going to get your other little papers that you have. If it's a colored paper or white paper, you're going to tear pieces off of the paper and glue them to the inside of the heart like this. So you'll tear all the different colors, glue them all inside the heart. And if it's all white, that's fine. That's why you have your markers or your crayons. You can color all the little torn pieces different colors. Okay? And again, if you need help, ask Dad. Okay? Now on the inside, what we're gonna write, oh, write Mom on the top. And then on the inside, what we're going to do is we're going to write three things I love about you, about Mom, all right? So give her one, two, three things that you just love about her. Does she make the best cookies? Does she give the best hugs? What are your three favorite things about Mom, all right? Go ahead and jot those down in that card. And then after the sermon, meet me back here. We'll shout Happy Mother's Day, and you can give her your little gift. We can do it all together as a church family. All right, kiddos, take your time, pour some love into it, and I'll see you after the sermon.
Good morning, Pastor Matt here. Great to be in your living room and do church with you today. How do you think the beard's growing in? Are you liking it? Thumbs up in the comments, thumbs down. Just thumbs up, okay? Happy Mother's Day. I can't believe it's Mother's Day already. I just want to give a quick pause and just a shout out to a couple of important moms in my life. Number one, my wife, Grace. She is an awesome mom to our little girls. Then I've got my own mom, Anne. She brought me into this world. Thanks, Mom, for doing that. And then my mother-in-law, Rita, is another special mom in my life. But not only do I have these moms that I'm related to that mean a lot to me, but I also have, I think I have some like adoptive moms who have brought me in and treated me like their own son when we moved to LA. And so just a couple of those, I get special recognitions because these other moms, they didn't choose me, but you did choose me. So that's really sweet of you. But I want to thank Jeannie for loving me like her own son, and Sandra, and Jean Janes, and Deborah Buhlman. You have all been kind of replacement moms for me while my mom is up in Washington. So thank you, moms, for loving us so well. All of us dads and husbands and all the men in the room, we're just so grateful for all the wonderful ladies in our lives. You know, you don't have to be a mom per se to have a special day today. So we just want to honor you and thank you for your love and care that you've shown all of us guys around here and all these kids. So thank you so much. You guys are really, really special. So I hope you enjoy this day. So kids, right now, go to the kitchen, slice up some cucumbers, get the guacamole out, just lather it on their face, put some cucumbers on their eyes, give your moms a little bit of a rest, okay? Go ahead, do that right now. Start the timer. No, just, okay, good. Hey, we are in this series right now called This Is How I Fight My Battles. Go ahead and just say that to someone in the room next to you. This is how I fight my battles. And I'm really enjoying this series. The first strategy we have, and there's really six strategies to live a victorious life. The first strategy was to build a wise foundation. And here's the thing. If you want to have a life that has great influence, then you need to be prepared to have a sturdy foundation, because as the pressure of this world gets to you, you need to be sure you're standing on secure footing. And so that's why it's so important to build a wise foundation. Last week, Pastor Hillary brought a great word. If you missed it, then you're going to have to, after this, go back and listen to her sermon. But she talked about hearing God's voice. And what a special and very important discipline that we should all have. You know, we can be swayed by so many of the voices that are around us. And we can be swayed by so many of the thoughts that the people have around us. But we want to be people who are led by the voice of God. We want to be Spirit-led people. And so what a great discipline that you and I can tap into. What an important thing we can have is that we can actually hear from God. And so she gave some great content there. And I'm not going to repeat what she said, but go back and listen to it for yourself. You know, the investment that you make in your spiritual life now will pay off great dividends later. And don't you wish that you bought some Apple stock, some Amazon stock, some Netflix stock, maybe 10 years ago? Don't you wish that you could kind of like hop in your space travel machine that you have and go back 10 years and invest $1,000 into Netflix and Amazon and Apple? And I want to show you what a $1,000 investment would have yielded today had you done it 10 years ago. Okay, so here, if you invested $1,000 into Netflix, you would have yielded a return of $51,000. Yes, if you invested $1,000 into Netflix 10 years ago, you would have made $51,000. If you invested $1,000 into Amazon 10 years ago, you would have made $12,000. And if you invested $1,000 into Apple 10 years ago, you would have made $6,000. Now, I don't bring that up to make you feel really depressed and feel really mad like you missed an opportunity, but I use this illustration to communicate something really important to you. Investing wisely in your finances can yield a really great return like those, but investing in your relationship with Jesus can have a huge return too, and not only a return for this world, but a return for eternity. And so I hope that we look back at 10 years from now, we look back at the season of life we're in now, and we say, thank God I invested my life the way I am now, because it yielded a return like this in 10 years. So it is up to us. How are we going to invest our lives? So I hope that during this time of pandemic, this time of stay home, you invest your life wisely into the things that really matter and digging deeper into your relationship with Jesus. Hey, today I want to talk about something really, really important. And it's actually a phrase that we say all the time here at Vintage Faith. So if you're part of this church or you've been to our church before, you've heard this phrase before, and it's simply this: better together. So go ahead and tell your neighbor, say better together. If you don't have anybody around you, just type it in the comment section, better together. This is one of our core values of Vintage Faith. We believe that we are better together. We were made for life-giving and life-sharpening relationships. You don't have to go too far in the Bible to realize how important relationships are to God. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we see God realized this need that Adam has a partner. And so Genesis chapter 2, 18, it says this: then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. It doesn't take long for God to realize that Adam needs a helper. And so God provides the best helper in the world. He provides Eve for him. And the first human ever that God made, God adjusts and realizes that Adam needs a partner. He needs a relationship. And from that time all the way until now, relationships have been some of the most beautiful things this world has ever known. And relationships have been some of the most difficult things this world has ever known. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. You know, God gave us one another so that we could sharpen one another. God gave us one another so that we could complement one another. He didn't give us one another to dull one another or harm one another. He didn't give us each other so that we could wound one another, but God gave us each other so that we could be mutually sharpened. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about being in relationship with other people is because there is a sharpening that happens as you get close to people. And you're either going to resist the sharpening that's made available to you, and you're going to become dull because of it, or you're going to embrace and lean into those relationships, and you're going to see God sharpen you in ways God only can sharpen you through relationships. You know, I just want to take a moment here and pause. And I'm thinking about people in your life that have had a great investment in your life. So this is a chance for you to think for a second here. But I want you to think for a minute. And I want you to think of 2 to 3 people who God has used in your life to shape you the most. I want you to think back about 2 to 3 people who've had the greatest spiritual investment in your life. Go ahead and share with your people. You know, I can think of a few people that have really shaped me the most. And thank God that He planted people like this into my life, because I literally don't know where I would be or what I would be doing if it wasn't for these divine relationships that God has given me on my journey. He provided just the right people at just the right time to shape me and mold me in just the ways needed so that I could go on into the next thing that God has for me. You know, throughout the Bible, we see how important relationships are. Our God is a God of a relationship. I mean, God Himself is a relationship. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is this interconnected, mutually dependent version of God that is a perfect picture to us about how important relationships are to one another. As made in God's image, there's no wonder that we need each other. Just like God needs different aspects of who He is, we need one another. I'm in a Wednesday life group. Shout out to all my boys, Wednesday, 7:30. But I'm in a life group, and I love it. It's right in the middle of the week. It's 7:30 Wednesday mornings, and we hop on, and we're doing Zoom calls right now since we can't get together. But there's something beautiful that happens in the middle of my week when I get to share my life with other people. And it's kind of like it starts my day really well. I feel like even as I get out of my Zoom call and tackle my day, I feel like I've already accomplished something by just sharing my life with people. The men in that group sharpen me. They bring out the best in me. And I find it a real joy. You know, if you don't know much about our life groups, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit about, here's a sneaky little plug, but our life groups are community groups, and they are currently gathering online. And this is a safe place for you to join, ask questions, just listen, and just see some other human beings for a little while. But no matter where you are in the world, you could be anywhere and join one of our awesome life groups and build great relationships. I'm so happy I hear that Mary Williams is in a life group all the way from the East Coast. So that's so exciting that the world has gotten smaller and smaller as technology has gotten greater and greater. But if joining a life group is something that is interesting to you, then I challenge you to hop onto our website and you'll see a link for our life groups. Shameless plug for our life groups. Hop on them, get on them now, okay? You know, when great people did great things for God in the Bible, it seems to always happen in the context of relationship. Very rarely did anyone or has anyone done anything great for God in isolation. It just doesn't seem that God works that way. He works best through and in relationships. But one of my favorite stories about an awesome relationship is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you're looking for a name for your next born son, those are 3 great choices. I'd go Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. And if you are pregnant right now, I don't know who you are, I'm looking at the screen, wherever you are in the world, if you're pregnant with triplets, boys, I got the names picked out for you right there. No, search no further. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Someone have triplets, name them Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Let us know. I can't wait to hear all about it. But not only are these the coolest names in the Bible, but I actually think this is one of the coolest stories in the Bible. And so here's what happens to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's found in Daniel chapter 3. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. It's kind of long. But in the story, this guy Nebuchadnezzar comes along and he builds this big golden idol. And he tells everyone around him that when you hear the music start, it's like when the band starts, everyone must stop what they're doing and bow down to this beautiful golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. Well, what happens is that it was working out great. The music chimes in, everyone bows down to this image that Nebuchadnezzar made, and he's super proud of himself, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refuse to bow down to this idol. Some of Nebuchadnezzar's men find out. They bring him to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar quizzes them and says, what's the deal? Don't you know, if you don't do this, there's severe punishment? And let me tell you what the punishment is. If you don't do as I say, if you don't bow down before the idol, then you'll get thrown into a fiery furnace. So it's not a slap on the hand for disobeying. It is death. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse. The music chimes in again. The band starts to play. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse. So Nebuchadnezzar gets super angry. You can always already tell he's a pretty violent person. He takes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He has the fiery furnace heated up 7 times hotter than it usually is. He ties up the guys, and he throws them into the furnace. And what happens is a total miracle. Inside of the furnace, all of a sudden, it shows up that there are 4 people. There's this angelic being inside the fire with them. And the fire doesn't consume any of them. So Nebuchadnezzar sees this, and he's like, what in the world is going on? He asks for the men to come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who just went into the fiery furnace. They come back out of the fiery furnace. They are not burnt, not singed, don't smell like smoke or anything. And in this moment, Nebuchadnezzar has this epiphany where he realizes that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must be the real deal, because I just saw a miracle with my own eyes. And so this story just shows us a little bit of the power of relationships. Now, could Shadrach by himself have been so bold and brave? Could Meshach been so bold and brave all on his own? Could Abednego have been so bold and brave all on his own? I don't know. But I do know that there seems to be this extra power and bravery that comes over us when we are together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's like this accountability that they had. They were not going to let each other down. And so this is a beautiful picture of the power of relationships. When you choose to do life with somebody else, you can do more than you could ever do on your own. You could experience more. You could endure more than being all alone. And I know right now a lot of people feel alone. You don't have to feel alone, because there are people who want to rally around you right now. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are my models of what it looks like to have relationships that sharpen you and strengthen you, that relationships that help you endure hard things together. Isn't that a great story? If you want to read it on your own, go ahead, Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through the end of the chapter there, and you can read the story on your own. It's a beauty. But if you want to be faithful to the great things that God has for you, yeah, you need to be in relationships that will bring out the best in you. If you want to be faithful to the great things that I know God has for you, you need to be in relationships that will bring the best out of you. Grace and I told our youth group kids this so 15 years ago, we told our youth group kids this. We said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I think all of our youth group kids, it was permanently seared in their brain. But that is true. The people you choose to surround you are often pictures of the person you are becoming. So I just want to ask you, who's your Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? Who are the people you are choosing to do life who are bringing the best out of you? Or are you surrounding yourself with Larry, Mo, and Curly, people who aren't bringing out the best in you? And it is a choice that we each have to make. Another verse that just really speaks to this idea of how important relationships are is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. It says this, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their toil. And if you want a good return for your effort, then you got to do life together. If you want a good return for your effort, you got to do life together. God has made us. He has literally created us to thrive in relationships in ways that we could never thrive all on our own. So let me just say that again, because that's worth writing down. God has made us to thrive in relationships in ways that you can never thrive on your own. So if you don't embrace the relationships that God has for you, you won't be able to thrive in the ways that God desires you to thrive if you choose to live in isolation. So I just want to shift the gears a little bit, and I want to share with you 3 different types of relationships that will help you be victorious. So I want to share with you 3 different types of relationships that will help you be victorious. This is going to be really great. And as I actually share these 3 different types of relationships, my hope is that you would listen to what God is saying to you. And we could practice a little bit of what Hillary preached last week, that I think that even as I share these 3 points over these last couple minutes, that there are going to be names that maybe pop into your mind. And sometimes we think that God speaks to us in some mysterious, like writing in the clouds, writing on the walls, or audible voice, or just some sort of weird thing. Sometimes it's just a fleeting thought that just comes in that it seems so random, but it just might be God. And so I just want you to pay attention, not only to the words that I'm saying to you over these next minutes, but I want you to pay attention to maybe some of the names that God gives you over these next couple minutes. So if you've got a pen or paper or your phone handy, I just want you to pay attention, because I would not be surprised at all if God places some names on your heart as I share, and this is going to be very, very important to you as we close the sermon. Okay, so do that. Number one, again, three different types of relationships that are going to help you become victorious. Number one is this: invest in someone. Okay? Invest in someone. Pour your life into someone. You know, the funniest thing for me is when the kids go to camp here at church, or the youth go to camp, and we're always scrambling a little bit to get a couple adult leaders to go. And we're like, we need like chaperones. Come on, we need some adults. And our adults go, and they go with the best of intentions. Don't get me wrong. But our adults go, and they think, yeah, I'll go, and I'll keep an eye on the kids, or yeah, I'll go because someone's got to drive. I'll go. I'll be that adult, and I'll do it. But what happens more often than not, when everyone gets back to camp, the kids have an awesome experience every single time. But those who are the most transformed and the most changed are often the adults who go to invest their lives. And there's something to that idea that as you go to invest and pour into somebody else, that you end up receiving so much more than you offer. And so there's that kind of beautiful thing. So anyways, as we get ready for camps in the future, I think you should be the first one to sign up. Ayla will give me an amen, and she'll give me like praise hands, all the emojis, because she'll be super happy to hear that. Bernadette will give me praise hands, heart emoji. She'll be super excited. So invest your life in someone. Pour your life into somebody else. You know, a great example of this is Paul and Timothy in the Bible. If you go to the New Testament, you'll see 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And these are letters written by Paul to his beloved Timothy. And Timothy was someone near and dear to his heart. Timothy was a younger leader who Paul had ministered to and shaped. And Paul keeps this intimate, close connection with him. And if you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you see the heart of a man who just wants to pour out his life into this young leader. And so what a great example of the lives that we can have, that you could actually find your purpose as you invest your life into a different person. You can actually find your person. And there's a sharpening that happens when you choose to mentor and invest your life and to sow seeds of hope into a younger person. You are actually being challenged in your own walk with Jesus, right? You can't expect from this young person things you aren't first modeling in your life. So that's a great example, Paul and how he invested his life in Timothy. But I just want you to think for a second. Is there anybody around you that you could invest your life into? And it doesn't have to be super dramatic. It isn't like, hey, call them and we're going to read the Bible together in the next week together. But it may just be someone that you can think of who could would benefit from some encouragement from you, someone who would benefit from some of the wisdom you have. I know some of you are a little bit older in age, and you feel like your prime is gone and stuff, but you have wisdom to share with us. And there are young leaders in our church, and there's young leaders all around you who are hungry for some wisdom. And either they're going to get it by running into a wall all on their own, or they're going to gain wisdom by your running into a wall. So give your pain some purpose and share your story with a younger leader. Can I get an amen? I feel like I'm preaching up in here. Okay, all by myself. Okay. Anyways, can you think of someone? Is a name coming to your head? If this would be a good investment of my time and energy, this would be a great person for me to pour my life into. If a name came up, I think you should jot that down. Number two, run with someone. So the first one was invest in someone. The second point was run with someone. You know, there is safety and there's encouragement and there's accountability. And I think there's joy when you choose to run with someone, when you choose to link arms with someone and do life together. You know, when I run with someone, when I physically jog with someone, I always run faster when I'm with somebody. And I think that's because when I'm running with someone, I'm encouraged to run harder. I'm more disciplined. I don't want to compromise. And so those are the kinds of things that really help us grow as a person. I remember going on a run with Jason not too long ago on the beach pre-pandemic. And I remember we ran and I told Jason, I said, let's run this really hard. And he didn't mind because he's like a gazelle. He's more of a gazelle and I'm like a rhino. In the animal world, he would be a gazelle, I would be a rhino. But so I said, let's push ourselves. And we ran 5 miles, and it was the fastest 5 miles I've run for a long time. And it was all because we chose to push each other, and he pushed me more than I pushed him. But that's part of the picture of what it looks like to run together, to do life together. Going back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, again, the coolest names in the Bible, that's what we see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They chose to run together. No matter how hard it got, no matter how difficult it got, no matter the obstacles that were ahead, they chose to submit and link arms together and push on no matter what. And I hope you have a crew that you can run with. I hope that you have a team of people that you feel safe with, that you can link arms with and move forward together. You know, I've got that, and I've had that in different circles, but I have friends that can support me when I'm having a cruddy day. I have friends that I can pour life into when things are bad for them. And so I think we all need to have those types of relationships. They're mutually strengthening, they're empowering, there's accountability, there's trust, and there's room to fail and room to make mistakes. And man, God has given us those relationships like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to strengthen us and to refine us. And so I think that's really an important thing. Now, to further illustrate how important it is to have people that you can run with, I did a little bit of research. And I studied theology, so not science. I studied theology, so I could probably tell you the three different reasons for authorship of the book of Hebrews. I could probably tell you all about presubstantiation, but I'm going to talk a little bit of physics here. So in racing, NASCAR, motorcycle, biking, running, so Donald, hey, motorcycle man, Matt Sendejas, hey, driver guy. But in racing, there is this idea called drafting, and I don't know if you know about it, but in drafting, it's basically saying that you choose to position yourself after the runner that's in front of you. And when you do that, that the runner in front of you or the racer in front of you is breaking through the wind in front of you. Yes, I said breaking wind. But they are pushing on ahead of you. And as you submit yourself and put yourself, you place yourself right behind them, that the wind channels in such a way that it actually makes your job easier. So let me illustrate here. I have some of my kids' Barbies. These are the easiest. When you have three girls, these are all over the place. If I had three boys, I would probably have trucks or something. If I was at Joe's, I would have Tonka trucks and things and race cars. But I have girls. So the way drafting looks like is if you run a race individually, you are side by side pressing on. And that, there's something beautiful about that. But in this idea of drafting, you are choosing to be closely put together and moving together. And the science behind this actually states, and this is pretty fascinating, if you are running behind someone, racing behind someone, that as you do this, the second person is spending 40% less energy than they would have if they were running on their own. And the person in front is actually spending 5% less energy because they have you behind them. So just think about that when you think about how important relationships are. When you choose to be close to someone, when you choose to be in proximity with someone, when you choose to connect with someone in a meaningful way, you are actually choosing to do life in a way that costs you less energy for both of you. And if you've seen cycling races, you've seen all these bikes and they group together in little herds, and that is intentional. And they say that a group of about 5 bicycles together can move together quicker than they could if they're all individually located. So that is the power of relationships. Let me put my dolls down. That is the power of relationships. When you choose to submit and connect to one another, you can go further, faster, and it'll cost you less in the long run. Isn't that a good word for somebody? All right. And number 3 is this. So we have invest in someone, run with someone, and the last one is this, submit to someone. Submit to someone. Choosing to be under leadership, choosing to be under covering, choosing to be under someone's wisdom is probably the hardest but most beneficial practice you're going to do in any relationship. Finding someone who knows more, who has done more, who has experienced more, someone who models to you the type of marriage you want, someone who models to you the type of leadership you desire, someone who models to you the type of parenting you want to strive for. It's submitting under their leadership is going to be so challenging, but so, so good for you. And it is super hard. This is where you invite someone into your life. We say, you are doing this better than me, and I want you to speak to my life. I give you access to sharpen me. I give you access to correct me. And I tell you what, those conversations can be really difficult, but they're always beneficial. And I think in the Bible about David and Nathan, David makes some really big mistakes. And you read about in the Psalms, you read about in 2 Samuel, but David makes some big mistakes. But David has submitted himself under the leadership of the prophet Nathan. And so when Nathan comes to David and calls him out on some of his stupid stuff he did, David responds with such repentance and bravery and authenticity. And he does this because he's chosen to submit under a leader who knows more than he does. So I challenge you, you should be thinking, who is someone that could speak into my life? And have I given them access? Because just to know there's smart people around you is the first step. The second step is to call them and say, will you invest your life into my life? I am an open book ready to receive from you. And I'm going to close with the scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says this. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to be people who stir up one another for good works. We need to be people who rally around each other, who prompt each other to do the good, the right thing. And we cannot neglect meeting together. I know it's hard right now, but we cannot neglect meeting together. It's so important. You have something to offer your group of people, and your group of people have something to offer you. It is not wise to neglect meeting together. And so anyways, here are those 3 points again. Invest in someone. Can you think of someone who you ought to be investing in your life in? I bet you thought of a couple names right there. Run with someone. You should be linking arms with a small group of people who you know have your back, who can keep you accountable, who can keep you moving forward and the good things have for you. Can you think of their names? And the last one is this. Submit to someone. Can you think of someone who has something to offer your life that you would be wise to give an ear to? Those would be 3 great relationships for you to invest your life in. I want you to think about those names and think about how you can interact with those people in meaningful relationships, because as I said from the beginning and will say it forever, life is better together.
All right, kiddos, how did those cards turn out? If you're still working, that is okay. Keep working. But let's just take a second to shout that special phrase that we were going to shout together after the sermon. Do you remember it? I hope you do. Let's do it together. Ready? On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Happy Mother's Day! All right, mamas, I hope you enjoy your day. I hope you get an extra long shower. I hope you get an extra long walk. I hope you get extra hugs and kisses all day today. Enjoy. Kiddos, don't forget, join me at vffchurch.com. Go to Kids Online and you will find a Bible story created just for you with a fun activity for you and a quick one that you can do with the whole family too. We're in a new month. We're in May. So kids, you're going to be learning about not giving up, getting unstuck. And my little pre-K friends, you're going to be learning about love. I love you. Jesus loves you more. And I will see you back here next week, my friends. Take care. Enjoy.